This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach, it's day one of the tourney. I mean, and you know, you stepped away from the game not too long ago. You've been coaching basketball for a long time. Or is any part of you today, as you turn on the TV and you're watching all the fun begin, any part of you kind of, I don't know, missing out a little bit?
Well, no, I'm excited to watch the games. And like everybody, you kind of look in the early rounds for the big upsets. And we haven't seen any of those yet. High Point's hanging in there with Purdue the last time I looked. But, you know, what makes the NCAA tournament, in my mind, the best 3 weeks of sports around the world is that it's live action, like reality TV. You don't know what's going to happen. Upsets, buzzer beaters. Great coaching, great playing, and it's just fun for everybody. And I know a lot of people, you're at Hard Rock, a lot of people probably gambling on these games, which makes them even more interested in the outcomes. I don't do that, of course, but a lot of fans love to gamble on them.
Hey, Coach, I'm curious. I've been with you guys when you have prepared for tournaments, multiple game tournaments. I was with you up there in Connecticut when you won your 700th game, and I'm just curious, let's say you get your seed, you know, you find out the first team you're going to play. What's the process when you get with your staff and you start to prepare? Obviously, you can't look ahead to game two as the head coach, right? But your staff has to start kind of, do you look a little bit big picture? Does the staff start to do some scouts on the other games, or do you have to take it one game at a time?
No, I from my standpoint as the head coach, we took it one game at a time. You start looking ahead, and eventually your players will get that sense, like you think you've already won a game. And that's very, very dangerous. When we opened up the NCAA tournament against Drake a couple of years ago, we were down 7 with 4 minutes to go in the game. Had we been looking ahead to playing Indiana in the next round, we would have been eliminated the first night. And that's happened on several occasions. Purdue got beat by St. Peter's. That was a 16th seed knocking off a 1. Virginia was a number 1 seed. They got beat by Furman on the very first night of the tournament for them. And so you really got to focus on that opponent, because, first of all, you don't know who that opponent's going to be. Selection and Sunday is on a Sunday, and you're playing them that week, and you have to travel to get to your location. So you have very little time to actually prepare for the opponent. You really have to rely very, very heavily on your fundamentals, on your offense and defense that you've played all season long. And then as the head coach, you got to be ready to make adjustments during the game.
Coach L, I remember Joe Zagacki telling a story maybe a couple of years ago that, you know, you sense maybe some of your players who hadn't played in the tournament already perhaps were a little nervous going into game one, And I think there was something you did, and I know there's various different methods that you would use to try to relax your players over the years. But I remember Joe Z, he said that you had the guys in the ballroom of a hotel playing baseball with newspapers. Is that right? Do I have that right?
Yeah.
How do you come up with that stuff? Like, what was it, you know, whether it was at UM or prior to that, that you would try to calm the guys down in, you know, at that point, the biggest moments of their life?
Yeah. It started very early in my career. We always looked for something. You could sense the level of stress that the players were feeling. One year, it was the biggest game of the season, regular season for us, but our starters were practicing and playing terrible. And we had a chance to win the league. And after practice, I just told the guys, look at, our second unit, what we call the green team, is practicing and playing better than our starters. So we're going to start the green team tomorrow. And this was against our rival opponent and biggest game of the year. It was on television. The place was going to be packed. And the starters looked at me. One of the starters looked at me and said, are you serious? I said, yeah, you guys got to know this is a game. It's supposed to be fun. And you guys are so stressed out. It's miserable for you. So we'll start the green team, and you guys come in off the bench. And the next day, we started the green team. They played terrific, got us off to a good start. I put the starters in, and their whole attitude changed because they weren't feeling the pressure then. They just played great, and we went on. We went on a 10-game winning streak and won the conference. And then another time, I could sense the pressure they were feeling. So we played baseball after practice. We wadded up a piece of paper and pitched to your teammate, and we hit it with an open hand and ran the bases, and the bases were on the court. Midcourt was first and third base. Foul lines, one foul line was second base, and under a basket was home plate. And we had great fun. So we've done that. We did that with Joe Z. We did it in Boston when there was a snowstorm and the game got postponed till the next day. And I knew our players were just, you know, tired of sitting around the hotel doing nothing. And so what we did is we played baseball in the ballroom. And we had a blast. And then the next day we played great and won in overtime.
You know, Coach, I'm curious what you think about experience in this tournament, because we're going to see a lot of teams, especially with the SEC. You're going to see a lot of these, you know, freshmen that are going to be one and done type of players. But you brought a team to the Final Four that had a ton of experience, and you had a few guys on that team that I just remember being at the practices and walking through the tunnels with those guys, and they were so cool and calm and had everything together. How important is it to have guys like that, like the Isaiah Wongs of the world, who just can be a calming influence to their team, and they have that experience, right? Those guys had a ton of experience in the tournament.
Well, I think that is a major key, and I think we're going to see it again this season. As much as there's a lot of hype around freshmen, especially kids like Cooper Flagg, who's up for National mm-hmm. Player of the Year, Duke, you know, a number one seed. But I think veterans, upperclassmen, guys who have been through it before, because every team is a good team or you wouldn't be in the dance. And when you're not as familiar with your opponent, you really have to rely on your instincts of the fundamentals that your coach has developed in you. And you'll find some teams that are great against man-to-man, and then they run up against an opponent that plays a lot of zone, and maybe you didn't even see a lot of zone during the regular season, and your kids don't respond as well. And the pressure is always on the higher seed. So I think veterans are a big key. I think upperclassmen, not just a veteran who's maybe a sophomore, but these juniors and seniors and fifth-year seniors, I think eventually the teams that are loaded with those upperclassmen are going to have a great chance of getting to the Final Four and win a national championship.
You know, I think we saw that, Coach. I don't know how much of the Louisville game you caught, but Louisville seemed, you know, very content to go isolation and try to get their, you know, their top guys ISO and get them to the rim. And Creighton on the other end is moving the ball all over the floor. They're finding great looks. So it was just a contrasting styles there. And Creighton ran them out of the gym in what was essentially a home game for Louisville.
Yeah, I watched that whole game until we came on the air, and no, Creighton is really good. They finished second in the Big East. They've had a tremendous coach in Greg McDermott for a long time. So it's not just the player's experience, but the coach's experience. And Pat Kelsey was the ACC Coach of the Year, and Louisville finished second, so they've had a phenomenal year. But I thought that 8-9 game was a great matchup for the first round for both teams, because the one thing you want to do is you want to get your competitive juices flowing right away. You know, you don't want to be laid back. You don't want to be nervous. Someone was a clear-cut favorite. Being eighth or ninth makes no difference. That the winner of that game's got to play the number one seed. So who do they have to play in the next round?
Ooh, I don't know. I'd have to look it up right now.
Oh, I thought you guys knew all of that,
Coach.
I can't imagine. Solana, you're a genius when it comes to this stuff. And Hollywood, come on.
He's supposed to have the brackets up, Coach. I just got called out of the bullpen for this one today.
I know Hoffman and Crowder, they would have answered that question as soon as I said, okay, who do they got in the next round?
I don't know about that, Coach.
The Hoffman and Crowder show.
Side.
I don't know about that, Coach. I think if you were asking Hawk some sort of betting question, then maybe he would have been good, but I don't know about the bracket. Coach, do you fill out any brackets? They get Auburn, by the way.
Yeah,
Creighton wins, they get Auburn. Do you fill out brackets now that you're not coaching on the sidelines? You fill out a bracket this year?
No, I never did that. First of all, when you're coaching, you know, you don't want to fill out a bracket and people say you're gambling and you know, or you're helping someone else make choices.
But you're not coaching anymore, you know, Coach L. You know, now you have the liberty to do things that you couldn't a couple months ago.
Yeah, that kind of freedom I can do without. I don't need to have someone question my picks. They asked me to do it with one of the local newspapers, and yeah, I turned down the request.
Well, what about Coach L? Any superstitions while you were on the sidelines? Like, I don't know, maybe before games and the tournament, you had a certain breakfast, maybe a certain coffee from a specific place. Maybe you had like one pair of socks that you use for all the tournament games. Do you believe in any of that stuff?
No, but I'm a great believer in routines. So I follow the same routine almost every single day. And I've been married for 53 years, so my wife knows my routines. And she knows, a very typical home game. We have a 7 o'clock home game, and we have a shoot around at 2 o'clock. So I arrive in the office that day. I rest all morning. I study the opponent. I get ready for the game. I get to the office at 1. I meet with my staff. We have a shoot around at 2. We have a pregame meal at 3. I immediately go home, and I get home around 3:30. And I sleep for as long as I can, and I wake up at exactly the same time, 10 to 5. And then we leave at 5:15, arrive at my office at 5:30. I meet with Joe Zagacki or Hollywood, depending on who's doing the game. They meet my office. We finish that conversation up around 6 p.m. I immediately go into the locker room, do my last minute planning. Then we meet with the team 45 minutes before game time, always 45 minutes, no matter where the game is played. And then we start that meeting by playing music. We play a song. It's supposed to be an uplifting song. I got the idea from Phil Jackson when he was coaching the Chicago Bulls. And I read in one of his books that he liked to have the players play music and listen to music, kind of like the American Native Indians played drum music and dance. They did the war dance. So we kind of do a war dance prior to the last minute details of the game. And the players loved it. They get juiced up and a lot of energy in the locker room before we take the court.
My favorite dance.
That's always my game day routine.
Yeah, my favorite dance, though, was you walking in the locker room after a big win, Coach O. We got some good video of you you dancing a little bit after those big wins.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. I never really, dance. I'm a very capable dancer. I'm not Fred Astaire.
Are you? But, are you really, Coach O? Well, like salsa, a little salsa, a little merengue. What are you dancing to?
No, I'm kind of just a 60s guy, I dance to the Temptations and to the Four Seasons and stuff like that. But my wife married me, she said, because I was a good dancer. But after games, when I dance, I'm just trying to entertain the players. They always encourage me. Come on, coach. Come on, coach. So one time I took off my shoes and did a dance. Some other times they have these dances that they do on their own, and I kind of mimic them, and they, when I'm mimicking them, they're cracking up laughing at me.
Yeah, yeah. So, you can't wait for a wedding, right? Because you throw it down on the dance floor, Coach O.
I'm going to a wedding this weekend. We'll see. See what kind of shape my body is in.
Send me some video. Coach O, Jim Larrañaga is joining us here. Before we let you go, Coach O, do you have any sort of rooting interest, or are you just going to take in this entire tournament, and why is it none of the 14 SEC schools?
No, I root for my friends and my former assistants. Right now, I'll be rooting in the NIT for George Mason, my former point guard. Tony Skin is the head coach now. He led us to the Final Four back in 06. Chris Caputo, who was an assistant on my staff for 20 years. Yeah. You guys know him. Chris is the head coach of George Washington in D.C. They're going to play in the Crown, which is a new tournament hosted by Las Vegas. And the Crown has invited 16 teams, some from the Big Ten, the Big East. And so he's going to be out there in Vegas. I'll be cheering for him and his team. I like to see the ACC teams win. So I'm disappointed that Louisville lost, but they lost to a terrific Creighton team. And I'll be cheering for Duke and Clemson and Carolina. How about Carolina? They got criticized, and then they blew out San Diego State. Hey, don't count them out. They could win this next one, too. They're playing Mississippi.
You stole my question, Coach.
They got a heck of a chance to advance. What?
I was going to ask you about North Carolina and getting in and the selection process. What did you make of that whole thing?
Well, I don't think you can explain it. everybody's got their theories about how they got in, that Bubba Cunningham's their AD and all that. But quite frankly, they're a very capable team when they're playing well and shooting the ball well. RJ Davis is a sensational, college player. But the fact is, once you get in, you need to prove yourself again. You've had a really good season, but you're in there. You're being criticized. Hey, this is something that Carolina wins this next game, people will be raving about what a great job the committee did.
Coach, I want to put you on the spot here with one more, if you can. I'm just curious. We've seen over the years so many amazing tournament performances. Is there anything that stands out in your mind, maybe an individual performance that just kind of stands out as the most outstanding?
Well, you'd have to go back in history, and your listeners are not nearly as old as I am, but when Bill Walton went 21 for 22 in the national championship game against Memphis, that's one of the great ones. And I sat courtside. It's the best seat I've ever had at a Final Four in 1974 when NC State beat UCLA and eventually won the national championship. And David Thompson played out of his mind. He was a fantastic national player of the year type player, but UCLA and NC State played in the semifinals and David Thompson won. I sat on the wood underneath the basket. I had the best seat in the house for that. And then my favorite, of course, Final Four was our team knocking off Houston and Texas in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago to get to the Final Four. And Jordan Miller scoring 27 points on 13 shots. He was like 13 for 13. So, that was pretty awesome, I thought.
Yeah. Say the best seat you had was in 2023, Coach. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. But I, no, Hollywood, you got that wrong. I had the best spot on the court. I never sat. I stood that whole game.
Yeah, well, Coach, I stood too because that first half, I mean, you know, you had me a little nervous. I'm not going to lie, Coach. You had me a little nervous in the first half. Fun second half, though. Very fun second half.
Well, these tournament games are great. I mean, fans all over the world are watching. So
yeah. Coach Jim Larrañaga, Coach, we love having you on. You were excellent once again. And we're looking forward to talking to you again next week. The tournament will be in the swing of things. So thank you very much. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Well, thanks, guys. Hey, what I like is you guys put this stuff out on YouTube.
Yes, sir.
So I'm able to actually go back and review it and critique you guys to see how good you did.
You watch the tape, Coach L. You watch the tape.
Thanks,
watch
Coach.
The tape,
great to
like
talk
I always
to you.
Do.
All right, fellas. Coach L, thank you.
See ya.
See ya, Hollywood.
Hey.